illuminating God by the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us through the reading of these words. Your word becomes flesh, living among us, full of grace and truth. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is from Psalm 13. As you listen, please look for an expression of grief and sorrow in this message. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This ends our reading today.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel as John recorded it, chapter 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever been convinced that your entire life was completely messed up and worthless, and there was nothing you could do to fix it? That either it was completely what someone else had done to you, through no fault of your own, or that it was all completely 100% your fault? I've been there. If you look around this room, you'll see a few other people who've been there too. You can recognize them because they're nodding their heads right now. I wasn't there when the decision was made to put the Psalms into the Bible, but I'm convinced that that kind of situation is why they're there. Roughly a third of the 150 Psalms are prayers for help. They are cried out of the depths, or when the waters have come up to my neck. Those images mean even more when you remember that most people in the ancient world did not know how to swim. These psalms express the deepest moments of human pain. If you've ever thought that you might not be able to tell God what you thought or felt, read the psalms. You'll find that other people have said what you're feeling, or worse. Psalm 22 doesn't say, excuse me, God, I think we might not be on the same page here. It doesn't say, it feels like we're drifting kind of far apart here, God. It opens with the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? The word forsaken goes beyond not being there. Forsaking someone is breaking promises and abandoning them, right when that would hurt the worst and do the most damage. And this psalm accuses God of doing that. This is the psalm Jesus cried from the cross after the crowd had cried, "Crucify him." After every one of his disciples, the people he'd handpicked from all of Judea, had abandoned him. The dictionary defines the word lament as feeling or expressing sorrow or grief. Lament is not a word we use much these days. We don't use this word because we don't do it much these days in Western culture. The dictionary definition is too mild. As Mark Twain would say, it's trying to describe lightning using a lightning bug. To lament is not the same thing as to kvetch or whine or complain. To lament is to purely express your sorrow and grief without concern for who is watching or what they might think. To say the things that are on your heart without regard for whether they are fair or dignified or whether they will embarrass us later. Perhaps because of generations of heroes who are always cool and collected, we tend not to express our emotions, particularly we Americans. We hide them. We distract ourselves from admitting we're feeling them. We try to pretend our negative emotions don't exist. When our life circumstances get difficult, we seek out false saviors and false solutions. We bury ourselves in work, or entertainment, or alcohol, or ice cream. We'll do anything rather than face the pain and heartache that we feel. But the Bible is full of lament. The prophets lamented how God's people wandered away from God's path, and they lamented how God punished them. The book of Lamentations is one long lament. Jesus lamented in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. A lament in the Bible starts with crying out to God. The writers of lament come to God as they are, with tears streaming down their face, their hair and their clothes a mess, whatever. They don't clean up the mess of their lives before they seek out their Heavenly Father. God already knows what's going on in your life. So there's no use in pretending that everything's beautiful, that your life is better than it actually is. They say how they feel with vivid description. "I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping." They ask God for help. They beg God to rescue them. They ask for relief from their pain. They ask for help and salvation. Whatever their needs are, they ask God to step in and provide for them. In the reading Ron read this morning, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me." Then they praise God's character, his past acts of salvation, his power, his wisdom, his love and faithfulness. They express their trust in God, their trust in God to be God and to take care of them. For us, reading the psalm, this can seem like an abrupt change. Most of us don't do emotional turns on a dime like that. How do they go from feeling like their life is ending, or at least not worth continuing, to praising God? The Psalms were not written in real time. They were written over a period of time. The writers of the Psalms eventually go from lament to praise, but it takes some time, and that's okay. In the process of writing these Psalms, the writers have gone through a journey of fighting with their emotions and their grief to get to the place where they can praise God. So, what does this mean for us? You know me, you know I'm going to ask that question. First, we in the West could use permission to lament. We bottle up our emotions and pretend that we don't feel pain or grief or anger. The reward for that is high blood pressure, strokes, and heart attacks. All the stereotypical male health issues of the 20th and 21st centuries. Of late, more and more women are having high blood pressure, strokes, and heart attacks. They're headed toward being evened out across the genders. I don't think that's the best way to achieve equality myself. If you feel it, you can say it to God. God is big enough to take it. God already knows what you're feeling. So why not say it? It might mean admitting to yourself what you're feeling, but that would be good for you. I don't often get this explicit, but in this case, I believe it's necessary. In the name of the Almighty God, I tell you, you have permission to be mad at God. You have permission to tell God exactly how angry you are and why. It doesn't matter if you will eventually figure out that God wasn't the problem here. It doesn't matter if you later calm down and decide the whole situation was somebody else's fault, or even your own. Tell God what you feel, when you feel it. If you're having trouble with words, that's okay. The Psalms will give you words. Psalm 13 that Ron read this morning. Psalm 22, which we've used in Blue Christmas services. Psalm 69. Psalm 130. God will still love you, I promise. God still loved the people who didn't just pray these psalms, they wrote them down for other people. Some of these psalms were written by King David, a man who enjoyed God's favor far beyond anything he deserved, but who had some hard times in his life too. God will not think less of you. God already knows you better than you know yourself. And God loves you anyway. Second, ask God for help. Every lament psalm explicitly asks God for help. It says, God, please help me. If you know what God could do to help you, ask for it. God may not choose to act in that way, but you'll never know till you ask. And asking God for specific help might just point you to something you could do yourself, if you were thinking clearly. If you don't know what God could do to help you, that's okay. Ask for help anyway. SOS is a prayer. God, help, is a prayer. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be answered to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You might get help in what you need without asking for it, but God has promised that you will get what you need if you ask. And God knows what we need better than we do. And third, praise the Lord. You may not get to this point immediately. Grief and pain are nasty stuff, and they can take a long time to get under control. The process is different for everyone and for every occasion. That's okay. Keep repeating steps 1 and 2, lamenting and asking God for help. You'll get there. Will pain completely go away? Not likely. But it'll get to the point that you can handle it and you can praise the Lord. Because God is with you and God will give you what you need, whether you know what that is or not. Thanks be to God, who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Amen.